What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, Sue, if you had your choice and you had two positions that were maybe perhaps awarded to you or named to, the IRS commissioner or ambassador to Iceland, which one would you choose?
Oh, my gosh, probably Iceland.
Yeah, you know, I think I'd choose Iceland, too, because the IRS gig sounds too complicated. Well, you remember Billy Long, who used to be a Missouri congressman from the 7th District here, southern part of the state. Eric Burleson replaced him. He ended up running for Roy Blunt's Senate seat, as many people
Don't
did.
Don't be silly. Vote for Billy.
That's right. Now, I loved Billy. The first time I met him was at this private dinner with Rex Singfield that he hosted at his home, and Paul Ryan was in town. This was like 10 years ago, maybe even more at this point.
Fancy.
And it was funny. It was kind of fancy, and I was like this person, like this fly on the wall, because I knew Rex and I knew Paul Ryan. So I'm in this room, but Billy really stood out because he wasn't shy at all, and he never has been shy. He became a regular guest on the show. I really loved him. But then he was appointed as IRS commissioner, which, not taking anything away from his skill set, he was an auctioneer. He was a character. Sometimes he would do, you know, some of his bits on the House floor as an auctioneer. You know, the sound bites were gems. But he apparently was clashing with Scott Bessent, and you have a situation now where he's no longer the IRS commissioner. It only lasted a couple of weeks, and here's what Carolyn was asked about this earlier today.
Look, I think the president wants to see Billy Long as the ambassador to Iceland. As you know, that is where he will be headed, and the president loves Billy Long, and he thinks that he can serve the administration well in this position. For now, Secretary Scott Bessent will be the acting IRS commissioner.
I guess they were not getting along very well. And you know, my instinct, I will tell you, my instinct was, I don't know if that's the best thing, Billy Long being in that position. And by the way, you know, you get an ambassadorship like something like this, you spend a couple of years, you know, in Iceland and traveling back and forth, and I think you get a federal pension, all that. It's probably not a bad gig.
Probably not.
The story yesterday, of course, was the federal takeover of Washington, D.C. by Donald Trump and the fascists, right? Here's Carolyn today.
As part of the president's massive law enforcement surge, last night, approximately 850 officers and agents were surged across the city. They made a total of 23 arrests, including multiple other contacts. Last night, these arrests consisted of homicide, firearms offenses, possession with intent to distribute narcotics, fair evasion, lewd acts, stalking, possession of a high-capacity magazine, fleeing to elude in a vehicle, no permits, driving under the influence, reckless driving, and a bench warrant. A total of 6 illegal handguns were seized off of District of Columbia streets as part of last night's effort. This is only the beginning.
So we're going to talk about St. Louis crime from a different perspective at the bottom of the hour. Tim Fitch will be here. He was on my roundtable on Friday, former St. Louis County Police Chief, and he's a consultant to law enforcement literally around the planet. He goes to other countries and trains, you know, officers and departments. But we have this weird juvenile point system in Missouri that I was, I think, pretty naive about, and I had no idea. And we had these carjackings last week that took place a day apart, and it was the same 14-year-old kids. One day they carjacked an Uber driver, then they're arrested, then they're let go right away because of the way that the system works, and then they hijack a Lyft driver. So they're very consistent on that. But there's a point system where you are given a certain amount of points based on the crime that you've allegedly committed. Sort of how, you know, points are assigned to driver's licenses for traffic offenses.
Very similar.
I think there's a recognition, I guess you have to have 15 points required to detain a minor, and Class A felonies count for the full 15 points, so you can be fully detained. Most felonies only count for 12. I cannot believe that carjacking is only 12, but we'll talk to Tim Fitch about that. But that's one of the issues, you know, that they're trying to get a hold of in D.C. Judge Pirro addressing that.
I see too much violent crime being committed by young punks who think that they can get together in gangs and crews and beat the hell out of you or anyone else. They don't care where they are. They can be in DuPont Circle, but they know that we can't touch them. Why? Because the laws are weak. I can't touch you if you're 14, 15, 16, 17 years old and you have a gun. I convict someone of shooting another person with an illegal gun on a public bus in the chest. Intent to kill? I convict him. And you know what the judge gives him? Probation. Says you should go to college. We need to go after the D.C. Council and their absurd laws. We need to get rid of this concept of, you know, no cash bail. We need to recognize that the people who matter are the law-abiding citizens. And it starts today.
Yeah, so she's the U.S. attorney nominee for that area. Ed Martin, another St. Louis guy, was supposed to be in that position. He got kind of shuffled to some new roles as well. Dwayne Patterson is here from HotAir.com. He hosts the Dwayne's World podcast. How are you? Good to speak with you again. It's been a little bit because I was off the grid. How are you, Dwayne?
Mark Reardon, welcome back. I am so excited to be here. I will absolutely stifle the slight of being back on day three of the return of Mark Reardon.
Well, in fairness, day one was kind of put together because the roundtable I do on Fridays and we do some light stuff. So really, this is kind of only day two, if you will.
Okay.
But I know you were pinch hitting with some of the guest hosts as well. But let me kind of start you on this whole DC thing. I see some of the lefties out there posting images of B-2s and, you know, other aircraft basically making claims that Trump is dropping in, you know, the military into DC. Some of this, I don't know if I'm completely comfortable with, you know, the National Guard taking over a bunch of cities in America. But at the same time, I live in a city where crime has gotten out of control. It's not happening necessarily during the workday, although sometimes it does. But in the nation's capital, I mean, the litany of lefties that have gone on to proclaim that they're really, oh, there's no issues in D.C., we're all fine, is really comical compared to the actual truth and reality of what happens on the ground. So I can't blame the president for this, but the left is pretty consistent on their opposition, aren't they?
Well, and keep in mind who these people that are complaining about. These are the same people that told you for years that the border was just fine, that there was no problem on the border. There was no immigration problem. It's the same people
telling
you that.
Yeah.
There's no crime in D.C. So you'll excuse me if I don't take their reassurance that everything is just fine there. Now, as far as Trump taking over a bunch of other cities, I think that was kind of a crack he made at the end of his press conference yesterday. But he is on constitutional and legal grounds by doing what he's doing. For the next 30 days, he invoked Section 740 of the D.C. Home Rule Act of 1973, which says if there is a problem, he can step in, flood the zone, and get things back under control. And you'll note that Muriel Bowser, the mayor of D.C., is not too upset about him doing this because things actually are a problem there.
She's kind of straddling the line, if you will. Here's one of her comments.
What I'm focused on is the federal surge and how to make the most of the additional officer support that we have. We have the best in the business in MPD and Chief Pamela Smith to lead that effort and to make sure that the men and women who are coming from federal law enforcement are being well used, and that if there's National Guard here, that they're being well used, and all in an effort to drive down crime. So how we got here, or what we think about the circumstances right now, we have more police and we want to make sure we're using them.
So Dwayne, I think we could both agree that the standard is not very high in DC to be a good mayor based on past history, but she seemingly, at least, and she's going to play some politics here, understands the need for some help in this situation.
Absolutely. But her saying that we stand behind our chief of police, Pamela Smith, I don't think she's going to make it to the end of the week. Did you have that clip of her press conference where she was asked if she knows what her chain of command is? And she had no idea what her chain of command is. She not only didn't understand what the concept was and what the phrase meant, the expression meant, when that question was asked of her, she physically, the body language, she turns to the mayor in that same press conference and basically nods to the mayor like, can you take this? Because I don't know what she's talking about. And turns around and walks away. She's not going to be the chief of police by Friday. She is not up to this gig.
Carolyn was asked about this today, that very issue.
The leadership structure is as follows. We plan to work with the Metropolitan Police Department, but ultimately the chain of command is as such. The President of the United States, the Attorney General of the United States, our DEA Administrator, Terry Cole, who is now serving ahead of the Chief of the Metropolitan Police Department. They will be working together. Nope, Terry Cole, as you heard from this briefing room yesterday, is in charge of the Metropolitan Police Department, and he's working with the chief to ensure that law enforcement officers are allowed to do their jobs in this city.
But that does not stop the hyperventilating.
Maybe it's not about crime. Maybe it's that he really enjoys using U.S. military force against American civilians on American soil and wants any excuse to do it anywhere he can.
Chris, to be honest with you, I'm trying to hold my temper. I think there's an ongoing argument that he's having in his head with Black Lives Matter. We have to understand this, Chris, within the context of Donald Trump's racial politics. He's actually trying to give his base red meat to get them off of the Epstein story, and it's on the backs of citizens in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, so, Dwayne, the headline, one of the headlines from the AP is Trump's rhetoric about D.C. echoes a history of racist narratives about urban crime.
Of course it is.
Yeah, it's the race card, yeah.
The best one I've heard out there thus far is from Chris Murphy, Democrat senator from Connecticut, who made a little selfie video and saying, oh, fine, he says that D.C.'s got a high crime rate. I'll have you know that it's not even number one or number two nationally. All you have to do is go look at Memphis, and that's in Tennessee, which is a red state. This is Chris Murphy talking. In a red state. It's got a red governor. It's got a Republican governor. And in St. Louis, your neck of the woods, in St. Louis, they've got more homicides and crime there, and that's in a red state. So what are we even talking about here? Of course, not getting down to the nitty-gritty of it, which is if you're talking about city governance, which is what's going on in District of Columbia, or lack thereof, the mayor of St. Louis, Spencer is her name.
Kara Spencer is the new mayor. That's right, yep.
And she is from which political party again?
She would be a Democrat and a progressive Democrat. Not as nutty progressive as our last mayor, but yes, she is a progressive Democrat, yes.
She would be a progressive Democrat who is, so the Democratic Party is kind of in charge of that blue city in a red state out in Memphis, Tennessee, where they do have quite a bit of problem with crime. They have a, he would be a Democrat as well in that city. So I don't know what point he's trying to make, but all he's doing is pointing out that you cannot trust Democrats to run things. it all falls apart eventually.
Did he really call out St. Louis and offered us as an example, Chris? He's such an idiot. It's unbelievable. Yes. Look, this is not the whole racist narrative thing is a bunch of BS. And what we've come to know here in St. Louis, and by the way, Democrats on my show have explained this to the audience, not conservative, you know, people with racist narratives, but Democrats who see the issue in St. Louis have time and time again come on here and talked about how these crime numbers are misleading because, you know, one auto lot gets raided and there's damage or theft to 50 cars, and that's just one incident. Now, in this particular case, D.C. still has a homicide rate of 27 per 100,000. That's about five times the national rate. So you have a long litany, and you just pointed out several cities. Democrats have run D.C., St. Louis, Chicago into the ground. They've been ruling for decades. They don't really want to solve the problem. They love criminals. That's what I've come to realize here in St. Louis. They always blame guns. They never want to address the root cause of these issues, and they failed time and time and time again. Look at Chicago, even with the handgun ban that eventually got, you know, thrown out, or D.C. with the Heller case. You know, they've tried these things and tried to blame guns, and the crime rate is just as bad, if not worse.
Look at what Donald Trump has pulled off again. He did the jiu-jitsu move of taking an 80-20 issue. Again, crime was one of the five big things that he ran on in 2024 to win back all the suburban moms and seniors. To get them to trust him to vote for him again, he talked about crime, along with immigration, along with inflation and cost of living. All those were the main planks of his campaign. And so what does he do now? He actually governs based on what he ran on, getting crime under control where he can. What do Democrats do? They now become the pro-crime party. They're taking the 10% that are pro-criminals. I don't know how he is that blessed to be able to have that superpower, but he gets Democrats to back the craziest doggone stuff, and he's done it again.
So where do you think, I had Jessica Kotescu on earlier, and I don't know if you know her, if you've had her on Hugh's show, but she wrote about the Democrat Socialists of America, and they had a convention up in Chicago. One of the funniest things about it is that if you were going to attend this event, you had to, in August of 2025, last week, you had to submit proof of a negative COVID test prior to arrival. How hilarious is that?
Of course.
But she, you know, these are socialists that are right along the lines of where Mamdani is in New York, and they legitimately believe, and by the way, I'm not so sure that they're wrong, that they can get one of these wackos that still wants to defund the police to rise to the top of their party in 2028. And beyond. So there's a lot of folks in my neck of the woods that I just mentioned, these Democrats, they're just as angry about crime and crime being out of control as people like me. But there is certainly a part of the world, in the Cori Bush world, which finally went away, and Kim Gardner here in St. Louis, but you still have Tlaib and others. And apparently Mamdani, they like criminals more than they do the victims of crime.
Absolutely. I can give you one more. You mentioned the DSA convention, which was grand. You know Netroots was going on this week, right?
What is that?
That's the crazy fever swamp on the left the Daily Kos gang, all the old blog, the left-wing bloggers,
yeah,
put
right.
together the conference of uber-progressive lefties. Beto O'Rourke, Robert Francis O'Rourke, I refuse to call a grown man Beto because Beto in Spanish translates to Irish. So, Robert Francis O'Rourke gives a expletive-laced tirade to the Netroots to fire up the base. His PAC is the same organization that paid for the Texas Democrats to flee the state and go up to Illinois, right? So Robert O'Rourke is now in the Netroots conference screaming at everybody, cursing at everybody to fight, 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 try to do his little junior Timo Trump fight routine at the same time that those Democrats that he paid to leave the state just announced they're coming back after all because they achieved their goal. They achieved their goal. Their goal, apparently, according to them, is they raised national awareness to the plight of what's going on to the poor Democrats in Texas. And in the process, a map that would have possibly cost them up to five congressional seats when they redraw the lines is now, because they've got to call a second special session, Governor Abbott on our radio show today said that we're going to redraw the map again in the second session, and it may be up to as many as 10 to 12 Republican seats that we carve out of this. So, but
wow.
They achieved their goal. good for them.
So the Senate, my understanding is the Texas Senate passed the new redistricting map, which adds the 5 seats. The Democrats walked out in protest. It still has to pass the House, but they don't have the quorum. But you're saying now that they have agreed to come back to actually take the vote?
They have, but that session ends Friday. So, and they're not coming back until the weekend. Abbott's going to have to call a second session. They will be there for the second session, but he will scrap that. The state Senate vote goes out the window. They have to start over again, and they're going to come up with a new map that's going to carve out even more.
Do you have any uneasiness about this at all? Look, we're trying to do this in Missouri as well, without all the drama of Democrats fleeing the state. I mean, we only have a handful of them in the legislature anyway, but there are Republicans, and this is all because of Trump. You know, Trump's trying to get involved here, and he wants to make sure that the numbers are shored up. I'm a little uncomfortable with redrawing lines, you know, every couple of years. I think that maybe Republicans could get themselves into some, you know, trouble with certainly people in the middle. But I also see what they did in Illinois, and it's hilarious that some of these Democrats go to Illinois where J.B. Pritzker and the gang have gerrymandered beyond gerrymandering Hall of Fame levels, I think, at this point. So the other part of me is like, well, wait a second. If you don't do this, if you don't take advantage of the numbers here in Missouri and in Texas, they're going to do the same damn thing. You got Carville out there talking about adding a Supreme Court member, making, you know, D.C. a state or Puerto Rico
Supreme
a state.
Supreme Court members.
Right. Yeah, that's right. He wants 13, right?
Right.
Yeah.
No, I'm not worried about the rules and the norms. I'll tell you what worries me. You still have to have good candidates. If you field, if you have, you know, between all the 7 or 8 states that are going to do this, if you have, you know, 17 possible pickups, and all 17 are Tom Massey's or Marjorie Taylor Greene's, then we're doomed, right? But, you know, you still got to have good candidates that resonate what the concerns are of the voters in their districts. So you've got to still recruit and have good candidates run, and you still have got to stay on message nationally, and the economy's got to keep improving. A lot of stuff still has to happen. I share your concern about doing this, but this has been adjudicated. The Supreme Court in 2006 ruled, after a 4-year legal battle, that Texas can redraw lines in midstream because there's nothing in the Constitution that says you can't. And because it's not there, it's a 10th Amendment states' rights issue. It's a decision called Lulac versus Perry, and it was a 5-4 decision, and it let Texas redraw the maps once they got control of both chambers of the state legislature and had a Republican governor in 2002. They said, no, we don't like what the Democrats just did to sneak in after the census, so we're going to draw them the way it really should be, and they did. They got challenged in court. The Supreme Court said, yeah, you can do it midstream. That is the precedence. It's been available for Republicans to do for a long time. Is it always the most prudent thing? That's, you know, history's going to decide that, and we'll see what kind of candidates we field and how much of a mess everything makes. But can they, legally, constitutionally? Of course
they
can.
Yeah, they can, absolutely. Dwayne Patterson with HotAir.com, host of the Dwayne's World podcast. Great to hook up with you again. I appreciate you checking in on me in the past few weeks. We're trying to get back on track, so I appreciate it, Dwayne. Thank you.
Need you back on the radio, man. Good
to see
you. All
right, take care.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tim Fitch is still coming up. I have an audio cut of the day as well. Ethan Hannaford with me in the studio, one of our great producers. Are you a Tom Brady lover or hater or somewhere in between?
You know, I grew up in a home where Tom Brady was hated because of what he did to the Rams. And as I've gotten older, it grew into a respect. I wouldn't say I ever liked him when he played, but there was a respect of how good he was.
You know what? There's a lot of commonality with me on that particular issue. I never liked the Patriots, but I do like the, you know, he was a ferocious presence on the sideline, and I love it when players show emotion, and there's no doubt that he's a winner. Now, his broadcasting career,
it'll continue to get better.
I think it's going to get better. But, you know, he played 4 years at Michigan. He went to the NFL. He won how many Super Bowls?
I mean, six, seven?
Yeah, unbelievable. But he is talking on I think this was on a podcast, actually, or let's see here, Joe Klatt from Fox. I think it was on a podcast. But, you know, this is a different climate right now. We were talking a little bit earlier about this Shark Attack stuff where Pete Hegseth was on Laura Ingraham's show last night saying they're going to bring this back to basic training, you know, more of the tough love approach. We played some of the cuts from An Officer and a Gentleman with Louis Gossett Jr. and Fred even harking back to Gomer Pyle. And remember earlier in the show when we were talking about college coaches. I mean, I would use Norm Stewart at Missouri as an example. He would get in players' faces. It was tough love. And that's important in shaping someone as a person for the future, because these college coaches have multiple roles, not only to win games and to bring revenue into the university, but to make sure that their players and their kids are educated and have a strong future. So Brady kind of goes off on some of this stuff with NIL and the priorities.
They're young. They don't have life experience. It should be the parents. Be a good parent. Teach your kid the right values. What's going to sustain them in their careers over a period of time? The value isn't always about the last dollar. So I think all these things that are happening in college sports, we're prioritizing the wrong things. We're valuing the wrong things. And I'm not saying it's not important. It's one of 10 things that are important.
Yeah.
And certainly to me, it's not the most important.
I'm not in the camp that is going to say that everything about NIL is bad and that it's ruining college sports. Because I think it's the reality. It's what we're dealt with right now. It's the Wild West, and these coaches have to navigate around it. And we're not going back, Ethan. Let's face it.
I think
it's
more so the lack of regulation on it. It's the Wild West. That's the issue. And if it continues at this pace, it is going to ruin college sports. But there is a way to do this in which you can do it the right way, and it's a win for everyone.
I'm a little confused as to why we're not having more conversations along those lines. Because, look, I haven't talked to Coach Drink in probably a year and a half. I got to know him a couple of years ago, actually, because of the NIL stuff. I was brought in not because of my checkbook, but because I knew people who had big checkbooks that could be interested in donating to the University of Missouri Athletic Department in the NIL. And they had something called, you know, Mizzou in the Lou, which is still successful. But, you know, Drink was very honest in the assessment of it, that it was the Wild West and something that he has to, you know, deal with and confront. They have to do their best at this point. The end result and what the consequences will be for these young college athletes, some of whom will never get paid to perform, you know, in sports again in the rest of their life. I don't know what that's going to end up looking like.
It's not to say that this money can't be life-changing, because it can be, but we know the percentage of college athletes that make it to the pros, and even Division I athletes is an extremely small number. The problem is that when you have these kids, and let's be quite honest, especially in sports like football and basketball, a lot of them coming from the inner city, they don't understand the handling of money, and all of a sudden you give a kid $1 million and they have no idea what to do with it. It could get really dangerous really well. This money's supposed to set them up for life, and because they don't know how to handle it, it becomes a real problem.
And now I think they're changing the way that they compensate, so taxes will actually be taken out. But for the first couple of years here, I'm betting these kids had a lot of, you know, they were told, the coaches had to tell them, look, you're getting this money, but you're going to be taxed on it at the end of the year. My guess is there's a lot of accountants trying to work some magic with NIL athletes. We have Tim Fitch coming up next, an audio cut of the day as well.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Not that they're not all stellar, but today's show, I think, has been exceptional from a guest standpoint. Again, I give credit to Fred on that, but we started off with Scott Jennings, CNN political contributor, good friend of myself and the program, and he has his own radio show, and it's going to air starting on August 25th, in a couple of weeks, 2 weeks from last night, at 8 p.m. He does a one-hour show on the Salem Network, and we talked with Jennings about that. We had Selena Zito talking about her book, Butler, The Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland. So awesome reasons to go back, use the rewind function, or listen to the podcast, or check it out on YouTube or the X, formerly Twitter. Now, on Friday, we had a roundtable, and my next guest was on that panel, and we talked about this situation where you had a group of teenagers arrested by the cops here in St. Louis after an armed carjacking that ended in a miles-long chase and then a crash in Bridgeton. So the kids are then released to their parents because the crime doesn't reach this threshold of a point system that I was rather unfamiliar with, and we're going to get educated on here this afternoon. So they return the kids to the parents. A day later, the same kids guilty of another carjacking. At first it was a Uber, then it was a Lyft, and this is just crazy. So we talked about it on the roundtable. Former St. Louis County Police Chief Tim Fitch, also a former county councilman, is back with us this afternoon after he was one of the members on the panel last week. Chief, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great, Mark.
So this caught me off guard because I guess if I had known about the point system, I was unfamiliar. But now there's calls to reform it. This is something that's coming from the law enforcement legislative coalition. Give us the background on this, why there is this point system, and what needs to be done about it.
Well, I am a member, in full disclosure, of that coalition. And I will tell you that there's a couple issues at play here. In 2021, the state changed the age of a juvenile that commits a criminal offense. It used to be once you were 17, you were considered an adult and you went to adult court. Now it's 18. So it added a whole new crop of juvenile offenders are handled in the juvenile court, the family court now. That was one of the issues. And then going back before that, while I was still the police chief in 2013, the Supreme Court passed an operating rule. It's called Rule 28. And basically what it did is it started this point system. And I want you to, the analogy I'll use is, mm-hmm. think about when you commit a traffic violation and you get points on your driver's license.
Right.
So the more serious the infraction, the higher points you get, and eventually you get your license suspended or revoked. This is working the same way, except crimes are classified by the number of points. So if you commit a crime and you're a juvenile and you've got no past record, most likely you will not be held. You'll be handed off to a parent or guardian. And only in the most severe cases will there be anybody actually detained in the juvenile court system. So they actually assign, you know, for example, so say somebody commits a felony assault second degree. That's like an attempt murder. There wouldn't be enough points to warrant to detain the juvenile. So that's how this happened with these individuals in the carjacking. Is that they were not held, they were immediately released, and they were back out doing it again. So two things need to change. The point system needs to change, and so does the age of when a person's considered a juvenile or an adult needs to go back to the old system. When I was a police chief in 2013, when this was passed, this point system, we balked about it then and said, this is one of the dumbest things we've ever seen. This is going to create more issues where juveniles are going to just be turned loose, even for violent felonies, and that's exactly what we're seeing happening.
Who changed the age from 17 to 18? Was that the legislature, or was that done locally?
No, it was the legislature.
Why in the hell would they have done that? Can you help me out with that? Well, that's baffling to me.
And that was in 2021.
Okay,
that they changed that. And think about what was going on then: pandemic. A crime was just starting to spike. We're starting to see big crime spikes during the pandemic, which have kind of turned back to what I would call traditional crime numbers that we're seeing now. So I think the legislature said, you know what, we've got to stop incarcerating and detaining these juveniles. Let's just change the age. And now a juvenile will be, 17 and under instead of 16 and under. That was a big change.
Any common sense person, though, hearing the details of the carjackings from last week will say, and I believe I said it on the roundtable, how is it possible that an armed carjacking doesn't reach the threshold of 15 points to hold the juvenile beyond a couple hours and release them to the parents? That seems crazy.
It does, and it is.
Well, so how hard will it be to fix that? This has to be the impetus. There should have been more impetus before this, but now there seems to be more people willing. How many people are in this group, the Law Enforcement Legislative Coalition, along with you?
Well, there's probably 20 around the state. That's for the whole state. And I will tell you that this is going to be a priority for the coalition to get this change. And I know I talked to a couple representatives last night. They were at Dennis Hancock's county executive kickoff party, and I know they're already starting to work on this. So I think we're going to see some change in the next session. Now, the point system, that was adopted by the courts, by the Supreme Court of Missouri. It was a rule adoption. So that could be changed by the courts at any time, the point system could be. And by the way, some courts like St. Charles County, they don't follow it. They say, you know what, we catch you in a carjacked vehicle, you're going to be detained. So, there are some options there, but I can tell you St. Louis City and County, they'll let these kids out as soon as they can, or they won't even take them in.
Why, if I'm a judge And I read the story, or I hear about this story of these carjackers, which, again, is very illustrative considering this point system. Why would I not say, yeah, you know what? I think we need to change that. Now, I don't know what the process would be if you still have any point system at all. But good Lord, you know, I can see having some points for shoplifting or things where guns are not involved. But I think we can all agree if there's a gun involved, there's an attempt at harming someone, there's an actual assault, that there should be no point system. That person should be held in the system.
That's right. And I'll give credit to Melissa Price Smith, the new St. Louis County prosecutor. She says you commit a crime with a firearm, you're going to jail on the first offense. But she also doesn't have control over juveniles. That goes to the family court unless they're certified as an adult. Then she gets them. But other than that, the family court outside of her control handles that.
Any thoughts while I have you here? And thanks for jumping on again in the aftermath of the roundtable on what President Trump is doing with D.C. and the National Guard. And, you know, the left is going bat blank crazy about this, talking about fascism again. But here you have a situation where, not unlike St. Louis and Chicago and other cities, crime is rampantly out of control. They want to talk about the numbers are better than they were a few years ago. I'd love for you to address that. But what are your thoughts on everything that's happening in D.C. right now?
Well, I think it's going to be temporary. I know he took the head of DEA and put that person in charge of the Metropolitan Police. I think it'll be temporary, like maybe 60 days or less. There's also 25 different federal police forces just in the district. So think about if you turn all them loose, and they already have jurisdiction throughout the district anyway, but instead of saying you have to guard the Washington Monument tonight, you're going to patrol at Union Station instead, that's going to have an impact. Just the visibility will have an impact. And then you got to remember, too, he also deployed the National Guard. My question for the National Guard, is it like the National Guard we had during Ferguson, where they weren't allowed to have ammunition in their guns? What's it going to be like? What's the rules of engagement for the National Guard in D.C.? I'm sure they're going to be paired up with local police and probably won't be out patrolling on their own.
Yeah, that's interesting. I kind of forgot about the rules, you know, and there is one thing to see the images and, you know, having the police presence. I think there's benefit to that. But I guess I wasn't thinking along the lines of the follow up and how much, you know, action they'll be able to even take. Right.
Yeah, I think what you're going to see is a lot of arrests, immediate reduction in crime. But as soon as they back off and go back to business as usual, they'll come out of hiding and it'll just start over again, unless the district itself and the courts there take serious action and say, we're going to change the rules of engagement here.
Well, but the other thing, and this is where there's commonality with our city and every major city, I mean, the number of, and Mayor Bowser, to her credit, even pointed out, I mean, she wants to hire hundreds of more officers. We need hundreds more officers here in St. Louis, but that is a years-long, you know, undertaking. It's not something, I mean, we've been talking about it for years, and it's still not really being taken control or taken care of here in St. Louis, but that's going to take years to get to that level. But obviously, that's one of the big issues.
No doubt about it. One of the things the governor could do is he can offer an incentive for officers to come from other areas. They did that in Florida. It's been very successful. Governor DeSantis did that in Florida, $5,000 for every new police officer that comes to work in Florida.
So kind of a signing bonus, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Look, there's a lot of things we use our tax dollars for, and I would vote yes on that one to get better police and to get police to stay in the city of St. Louis and in Missouri. So I would vote.
Right.
I would vote to say that that's a good idea to go down that track if that's one of the options. All right, Chief, thanks for jumping on here this afternoon. I'm a little short on time. I appreciate those
all
always.
Mark, take care.
All right. Well, I'm very much looking forward to catching up with some people that I have not spoken to for a while. Brian Kilmeade amongst them, and he's going to join us on the show tomorrow. We'll have our friend Alex Rich, who is on Y98, who drops by on Wednesday afternoons. We tend to lighten the load a little bit during the Sue's News Hour, so he will be here tomorrow as well. My friend Rick Niner in Las Vegas just sent me, we were talking about the Billy Joel doc a little bit earlier. You've watched part one of the Billy Joel doc, right?
Outstanding.
Yeah, Rick said that there is a documentary, I haven't seen this one out there, and I've been tooling around the streaming services quite a bit. It is called Sunday Best, The Untold Story of Ed Sullivan.
Huh.
And it is streaming on Netflix. I think sometimes we forget the power, you know, we talk about Johnny Carson, we know about Letterman, we know, you know, all of the late night hosts in the modern era, but the power that Ed Sullivan had when it comes to music and promoting music. So they feature performances from Ray Charles and Jackie Wilson and Bill Diddley and James Brown, Ike and Tina Turner, Nat King Cole, Elvis, Nina Simone, Mahalia Jackson, the Beatles, Stevie Wonder. I mean, these were all bands that were on the Ed Sullivan Show. So that seems to be, you know, the subtitle of the doc is, in the earliest days of television, when the rules were still being written, one man dared to break them, Ed Sullivan. That is, I guess it said that it premiered on July 21st. That's weird to me because I'm on Netflix almost every damn day, and they're always promoting what's new on the platform. I haven't seen that at all.
That's interesting.
There.
Well, maybe it's, you know how they choose what they think you'll like.
Yeah. Well,
maybe, but because, you know,
but I watch some of the music stuff, so that's a little weird.
That is weird.
One of the things I guess they focus in on the documentary is that, you know, even though it was Elvis and the Beatles that he introduced this country to, there was a lot of, and this was maybe ahead of its time, a lot of showcasing of black talent that was very bold and very impactful. And this was at a time in the country when, you know, segregation was legal and the media for the most part were ignoring the black voices. I always love it when my blood brother, Uncle Ted, is on the show. And it's just so ironic that he gets accused of being racist, Ted Nugent, because he always pays homage, whether it's live in person during his shows, whether it's backstage when he talks to veterans because he has great moments with veterans groups, or whether he's on my radio show or others, always pays a lot of homage to the black artists that, you know, inspired a lot of rock and roll folks here in you know, St. Louis and beyond.
Yeah.
So I got to check that one out for sure. Let's do this here this afternoon.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
It just has to be this montage of the MSNBC CNN crowd just completely apoplectic about Trump trying to crack down on crime because the left loves criminals.
When I heard the news today, and he mentioned my son, not by name, and mentioned the others who have been victims of violent crime, I was so happy. And I said, I looked at Eric's ashes, and I said, Eric, you haven't died in vain.
So that is the mother of someone who was killed in D.C. You juxtapose that with this.
What do you think is truly going on here with the president's fascination with, quote unquote, violent crime?
A relatively small crime problem is being used for specific authoritarian purposes. It's about federal overreach.
This is a power grab by a president.
He has always felt that American cities, especially those with large black populations like Washington, D.C., are crime-ridden.
Yes, because they are. They have to pull the race card, and they did that very effectively. It was absolutely predictable.
Get more at 971talk.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball.
Yeah!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.